Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This episode is sponsored by JB Weld, the epoxy adhesive brand used by both pros and DIYers, trusted for over 50 years. You can get JB Weld at jbweld.com or just about anywhere you pick up adhesives. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. All right. Very funny episode. We got Dave Damaschek coming up. We got Jeff Ross is going to give some of his roast jokes that he couldn't deliver on Cousin Sal's birthday. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. And I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to take your automotive policy and you need to get your bundle working. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or your renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save and just how easy it is to save when you go to Geico. That's geico.com.
Walk-ins Welcome is proud to welcome Jordan Harbinger to the show this week. Jordan is the host of the Jordan Harbinger Show podcast, and we talked about the art of interviewing people, what sees him through the rough times he's experienced, his big picture vision of the future, and how he got his start as one of the first podcasters and a dating coach way back in 2006.
This is how my business evolved. Another guy said, hey, I don't really understand. I mean, I understand conceptually all these things that you're saying, but I really want to come see them in person. And I was like, well, I'm not going to have a stranger over to my house. Like, forget it. And he's like, I'll give you $10,000 if I can stay with you for 2 weeks. And I was like, here's my address. This guy who's like a street magician who was doing really well came to my house in New York where I was working on Wall Street and was like, I just want to kind of follow you around in the evening.
To be sure you don't miss Jordan's episode, subscribe to Walk-Ins Welcome on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dave Damaschek. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and a phone call from Jeff Ross. And now, forget the Olympics, it's time to discuss the real competition. Fruit of the year, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on Mandy. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to some friends. Love that about you. Right, Gene Grant?
That's right.
And Bull Burn.
Shut up and F my a-hole.
Sheck coming in. Lots to talk about with Sheck because we just spent the weekend with the man.
Quick question about fruit of the year. Has watermelon ever been fruit of the year?
I don't know. We got to ask Sheck.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the keeper.
He's the keeper. He's the keeper.
I always thought he picked the apple. Cares about the apple.
He likes saying apple crisp, sweet crisp.
Honey crisp apple.
Honey crisp. He likes the top. Look, again.
Yeah, honey crisp is a great apple.
Cares about apples.
Yeah. All right. Might I remind everyone, the last time I flew Comfort Plus. Mm-hmm. Know what that meant?
Mm-hmm.
It meant I got the space above my head to put my bag. And that's all I can think of.
Okay.
The point is when you get super euphemistic with the names, right. Like the ladies donating their eggs and stuff like that, we're harvesting the eggs right. And selling them on the black market.
Yes.
That's what it is. So when you have to start...
Pretty sure it's on the up and up.
Black market. Google me right. The point is when you have to start putting honey and crisp in your apple, you're gilding the lily. You're overcompensating. You know you don't have the product there.
Totally agree.
They started down that hill when they got Red Delicious. Red Delicious?
Yeah, Red and Mealy.
Oh. Right. So we'll get into that. It was a long argument with Jimmy. We already had it at the club, but we'll revisit this, evidently. By the way, we could file this under arguments black people think white people have, and they would be right
Best
on
produce.
This one. All right, so we got that. I was watching Love Boat last night.
You don't say.
Mm-hmm. And
switch it up.
Marion Ross popped up.
Oh, Mrs. C.
Now we might. I think we're going to be playing Dead or Alive later. So I thought she's good.
It's
and
good
I thought
I don't
know. Mrs. C. Marion Ross.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
she was not young when she was doing the Love Boat.
At the risk of being ignorant, this is Mrs. Cunningham.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
From Happy Days.
Mm-hmm. And multiple appearances on Love Boat. I don't know what else.
Apparently,
I don't know what else she's done. But it did. Well, you guys want to take a guess?
At if she's alive?
Yeah.
When did that show run? Late 70s?
Happy Days?
Yeah.
Happy Days started in probably like 75 or something, 74. Okay. It started early.
I'm going to... Oh, fuck. Okay. Alive. She'll be in her 80s.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. And not to be confused with Charlotte Ray, I don't think she's alive.
She is alive at age 92.
Good for her. I'm happy to hear it.
But someone I've told you guys about my Acme comedy troupe and some of the folks that were about that troupe way back in the day. And maybe the Groundlings. Her daughter I was friends with.
Huh?
And Ellen.
In Acme or in Groundlings? Or other?
I think I may have met her at the Groundlings and then maybe moved to Acme at some point, if memory serves.
She was moved out with you?
I was moved
invited
out.
Invited to go.
She was a very good sketch, improvisational, probably better sketch actress, characters, and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Makes sense. Never seemed to be really close to her mom.
Interesting.
But also, I do, as I was thinking about it last night when I was taking a walk down IMDb, I attended her wedding. And then she went on to write for Friends. I think her big credit is Friends.
I'm sure she's done well.
It was such a big deal when somebody in the troupe would get on to a TV show or something. Many were performers, and then they went on to be writers and producers. I think she was a co-EP of Friends.
On the TV show.
Damn.
Yeah, on the TV. And I guess she got there pretty early on, too. So,
good for her.
And I was just thinking, her name is Ellen Plummer. And she's super sweet.
You know what you should do?
Or Meskimen. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but Ross may not have been Marion Ross's last name. Meskimen sounds better.
You should take some time to make a semi-comprehensive, hard to make comprehensive, of course, list of people you cross paths with, the Groundlings and Acme, sort of a where are they now or what did they do kind of thing, because this is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, and like you said yesterday, people are always on the up and up and rising through the ranks.
I say they should do it and put me on their list, bitch.
It'll be a short segment.
You're right. Yeah, there were a lot of people. There was tragedy. There's a guy named Vic Wilson I've spoken about. It was super handsome, hunky guy that was like the funniest guy in the world. And, I looked him up. He died at 51, several years ago. Like, there was the, I wonder if there's any connection here. Because Phoebe from Friends,
Lisa Kudrow
was a Groundling.
Right.
I was there when she was a Groundling too. I wonder if she's somehow with Ellen. Yeah, I'll put that list together one of these days. All right.
So hot love boat talk.
No, that was it. It just reminded
there
me.
There we go. See a clip.
No. Come on. I'm not going to waste the audience time with that kind of...
Yeah.
That's personal.
Chicanery.
45-year-old television show. Don't be ridiculous.
Right. My mistake.
Yes. I'm not sure about this... not sure about your Gavin Newsom note here, Maxipata, but you can expand on that. All right. Maxipata found a homeless treehouse.
Holy.
Well, it makes sense if we're going to be building
That's
and we're
whimsical.
Going to be building outside, then let's get up off the ground.
I found this on the internet. I don't really think I found it personally, but
they pull a permit for that?
I think that's my neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't know where it's taken from the freeway.
This is in LA. Yeah,
it is. It is weird that you're seeing structures now. I know we've delved into this before, but now we're going up the tree.
Wow!
And we're just building in a tree. Whoa! I should say. When I had my dinner with the fire department in Malibu last week, and their thing was we do brush fires here. Like, so if you want to be in the Malibu fire department, you're not going to be putting out warehouse fires. Right. You're going to be putting out brush fires, And I said, what's up with how are these brush fires? Like, oh, it's all homeless. They all live in the creek in Topanga Canyon, or they just live up in the hills of Malibu, and there's where the fires start.
So what's to be done between the environmentalists and the ACLU? Because they're going to start butting heads soon over this.
It's an interesting... I think we've all seen this over the last several months, but certainly the last several years. Once you kind of allow something to be just... as is, you know what I mean? Then it's really hard to unring the bell.
Then it's a thing to unring the bell.
So it's like, you know, it's like if you let your kid, I don't know, dress up like Pippi Longstocking.
Sure. Check.
You should probably nip it in the bud, like on the first day before they head into the ninth grade. You let it go a week. Now there's no undoing. That's it. Now you're undoing what is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So homeless, camping everywhere, and living in the hills and starting brush fires. I couldn't think of a better example.
Clearly.
But the point is, the point is once they start pitching tents at the park, I mean, look no further than the bop. All right. The park. They clean the park out. Now the park's fine. They can use the park. But somebody put a tent in there and nobody said anything. And so someone put another tent. And then next thing you know, we got a bunch of fucking Pippi Longstockings running around because nobody like jumped in and went.
Bringing it home like a pro.
Patchwork bloomers.
Stop it now.
Yeah.
We got to stop it right now. Because now it is. And then what you're asking them to do is undo something that is.
Right.
So, and it's sort of a, it's somehow been. I wouldn't say condoned, but it's like, yeah, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
We have people living here. And then you go, well, we need to get all this trash out of here. And you go, oh, you want to get these people to move? This is the guy who lives in a tree. You know, that's, it is.
Yes. And to that point, there was I think it was homeless or street people of Los Angeles or something. Someone put up a picture of, you can see inside someone's encampment, a flat screen TV, and they are watching some Olympics or some sports. And it says underneath, you know, don't bother calling the police because they'll tell you the same thing. You should have voted for somebody else. There's nothing we can do.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that. I don't know if you guys saw the Eric Garcetti signed an ordinance approved by city council to basically criminalize homelessness. You make it illegal to be under – it's pretty restrictive. It's like be under overpasses in parks. This was 2-3 days ago. Can anyone else hear about this?
Boy, how can that not be – that's not a headline. It's not a headline I got.
It's crazy. Well, Christy and I both read the story this morning.
Wow.
It's one element of a very complicated equation. Like, how is this going to be enforced? Will it be enforced? Where are they going to go? You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't feel like a super well thought out plan, but.
I don't know the New Republic, but I imagine that they have a bit of a take, a bit of a slant. The headline is Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti declares war on the homeless.
New Republic's pretty liberal, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, the war, by the way. That's the next thing, too. You want to build a structure on the sidewalk in Studio City underneath the overpass where people walk back and forth to the Gelsons with their kid in a stroller. That's not declaring war on homeless
my
people.
Gelsons.
And any more than it would be if someone wanted to pitch a tent on my front lawn and I wanted them to leave. It's not declaring war on them.
I think it's any place that impedes the public, which is... almost anywhere.
Outdoors.
Yeah, any sidewalk, any park, any anything.
Well, speaking of bad politicians, I had this clip I was sitting on. So, you know, we're trying to recall Gavin Newsom out here in California. Newsom has some, he's in full repair mode.
Oh, he doesn't want to go. I'm getting the thirsty-ass emails from him.
He does not want to go, and he's decided... Well, I think he was speaking about what's going on with the vaccinations, and I think in California or maybe LA County, and I'll break it down. But first, let's hear why. But here's the interesting part. All right, he's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
He wants Californians to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to hear why more Californians aren't being vaccinated.
Okay.
And what do you attribute that those 25% that have remained unvaccinated, what do you attribute that to in your state?
Well, overwhelming majority of misinformation by right-wing pundits, period, full stop. Time to be a little bit more specific. The Ron Johnsons of the world, the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world, the Tucker Carlsons of the world. I watch them. I listen. I pay attention. They're misinforming people. They're literally putting people's lives at risk. People are dying because of the misinformation, either knowingly or unknowingly. Regardless, time to call it out. Draw these lines. The overwhelming majority of people. And there's good people that, look, I recognize have real hesitation.
All right. So the reason 25% of the populace of the state that he governs over aren't getting vaccinated is because of misinformation by Ron Johnson.
Who is that?
That's this
porn star. I think he's in jail.
This is me. This is my point.
I don't know who that is.
It's that Republican senator from who the fuck knows where. I don't know. Then there's Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's the nut job who thinks the Jews are firing laser beams at Saturn or whatever. And then there's the person you've heard of. Now, first off, if I walk through Los Angeles or Sacramento or anywhere in between and I ask the average person, do you know who Ron Johnson is or Marjorie Taylor Greene? And does she impact your life in any meaningful way? And or do you take advice from her? The answer would be no. Now, Hispanic and Black are the lowest vaccinated, so probably the least likely to be TiVoing Tucker Carlson. I'm guessing, but
he's not speaking to them.
California has 40 million people in it. Tucker Carlson does about 3.5 million a night. So, and then out of that 3.5 million, what percentage are Black and Hispanic and live in SoCal?
I'd be curious.
It's exceedingly low. So this human has a problem, or at least as a question, why aren't more people vaccinated? He, as a problem solver, says, we got to pull Tucker Carlson off the air. That wouldn't appear to solve the problem to me in any way, shape, or form, especially that if you just did a loose poll, if you just walked around, if you went to the Home Depot that's a block from here and you stood out front and everyone who went in, you asked who Ron Johnson or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Tucker Carlson, it'd be very low. And then do you watch Tucker Carlson? It'd be very low batting average, exceedingly low. So this person is not into the problem solving. Now, I get it. You're a politician, but you can say, hey, 25%, we're not doing as bad as many states. And I have vaccine mobiles that I'm looking to dispatch to neighborhoods that are underserved or something. We're going to blame Ron Johnson, who no one knows.
No, never heard of him.
On this.
Well, and that's the
thing. He's such a fucking pompous buffoon. He's such an idiot. I mean, forget about politicians and lying and all, you know, my party and all that kind of stuff. You run the state of California. You've just named three people that no one in California cares about as the reason we're not getting vaccinated.
Right.
Specious at best.
Well, and if someone said, what do you think the main reason is that, you know, some that most of or whoever in America isn't vaccinated? I think it would be reasonable to say, and we've talked about it at this point, because they don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But
they
this
have
is
a pre-existing resistance.
Either way, it's because they don't want to. Now, it's because somebody told them on, you know, cable news. I don't know. But this is very specific. And you're right. This is not the reason why Southern Californians are not choosing to vaccinate.
And this is why people have to learn to do interviews, where you go, okay, what percentage of Californians are not being vaccinated because of Ron Johnson and Valerie Taylor Greene?
Or
whatever, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Who? Really?
It's a little weird.
It's such a lying sack of shit. Speaking of lying sacks of shit, Jeff Ross is on the blower.
Hey, come on. I resemble that comment.
Jeff, Mike August was great because Mike said Jeff was all fired up to do the Cousin Sal roast on Friday night that we did in Vegas, but got tested positive for COVID.
Yeah. I've never missed a roast. I was distraught over this.
And now you've been vaccinated, right?
I took the Johnson & Johnson. Yep.
Then you got COVID positive again, just like Mike.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I found myself at 5 a.m. binge watching The Mandalorian, eating ice cream and potato chips, and I thought maybe I'm just pregnant.
Wait, August is COVID positive? Do we all know this?
Oh, did I say that? Yeah, Mike.
I heard tell of this.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I don't know if I've talked about it or not. Yeah, he was COVID positive too, but no,
I gave a lot of hugs.
He didn't really have symptoms or light symptoms.
Yeah, Jeff, do you have symptoms?
Mike had super light symptoms, but his daughter was sick, so he went to get his daughter tested because she couldn't go back to school. His daughter tested negative, and he tested positive. Weird. And yeah, he didn't feel anything.
So, Jeff, did you have symptoms?
Yeah, I was very sick for about 5-6 days, and I'm out of it now. I just tested negative, so I'm feeling a lot better. But still, it still beat me up pretty hard.
Even with the vaccination.
I guess so, man.
J&J,
who knows?
One jab.
You know, I would have been a lot sicker without it. But then again, if I hadn't gotten vaccinated, I wouldn't have gotten sick because I would have stayed home longer. But they told us to go out. I took my mask off. I was back working. And, yeah, I got sick. So the joke's on me.
Do we have, Jeff, what are you planning on for your next big-time roast? Do we have some names you could drop on us?
I do have something cooking that is major, but I can't say anything yet. I wish I could, and I will definitely come back and talk about it when I can, but I don't want to blow the deal yet.
All right. Well, get me in on it whenever the time comes.
Well, you killed so hard at that Alec Baldwin roast that, you know, I still pull that video up and watch your rant on there and die laughing. And I did get to FaceTime in and watch you roast Cousin Sal in Vegas on Friday. Don Barris was nice enough to let me watch. And you killed, Adam. I was really proud of you.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Well, it means a lot coming from you. And again, roast isn't it's not my forte, per se, but I knew the room pretty well.
The funniest part is that everybody's sitting around. It's private party, invited guests only. And you came from backstage like you were doing a real show. I thought that was adorable.
Yeah, I don't like climbing up from the audience. I sat in the green room.
And I watched the rest of the roast. And honestly, I'm probably the only guy in the world who's glad he got COVID.
Yeah, Danny Two Sheets got called up and then just said, "No, I'm not roasting." A turnaround and sat back down again.
Chicken exit.
Yeah, what was that? What was that?
Well, Daniel had a couple of Sal's stories chambered, but as Jeff knows from the roast, Jimmy and Ivy and his sister and Jimmy's sister, I can't remember the order of everyone, but everyone went up there and told stories, and they told those stories.
Oh, no.
So Daniel's out there probably three sheets to the wind.
Scratching out stories on his notepad.
He's got two stories to tell, and they just got told. Now he's being pushed up on stage, and he's like, "I don't have anything." But Mike thought it'd be funny if you shared a few of your Sal roast jokes with us.
Because
We know, you're ready.
I'm not going to... normally I only roast people to their, when they're present, but you and I know Sal so well, and he's such a friend of your show. I feel comfortable giving you a little teaser. Sal, and this is in Vegas, Sal's kind of home court. You know, we all know how much he loves to gamble. Sal, you're such a degenerate gambler. When your wife, Melissa, said I do, you lost 10 grand.
Oh!
Sal's nickname in Vegas is Unlucky Luciano.
Oh!
Hey, Sal, you look like a bookie who only breaks crab legs.
Oh!
Sal has already lost money tonight. He bet that Adam Carolla wouldn't be invited, but here we are.
Oh!
Sal looks like an attorney for Minions.
Oh!
You have to picture Sal, but yeah, it's good.
Oh, you can picture Sal. He looks like Winnie the Pooh if he ate marinara sauce instead of honey.
Oh!
Sal, how does anyone ever trust you with their money? Your last name is literally Aya Khan.
Oh!
Here's one of my favorites. On The Man Show, people thought we were sexist when we hired the Juggies. But the truth is, we couldn't have Sal have the biggest tits in the office.
Oh!
Sal has a wife and three kids. He should have four, but he lost his firstborn when Scott Norwood kicked it wide right.
Oh!
Sal looks like an attorney. Let's see here. Before he became a professional bookie, Sal used to practice law. He got his degree from Vinny's Law School and Lube Jobs.
Oh!
Sorry, I'm still coughing from the COVID.
I like the COVID roast.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. You're all done. Let me see. Here's a good one. Sal, your podcast has less female viewership than a glory hole at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Now, Jeff,
I'm going to save the rest for Sal's 60th.
Let me ask you this. What's the process? Do you work with writers? Do you farm some of this stuff out? Do you hand them a premise? Do you tell them to, you know, IMDb Sal and get back with a couple ideas? Like, what's the process?
Well, you know, with a big time TV roast, obviously I staff up and have a lot of help because, you know, I'm producing the whole show and I want to really kill and I have to close. But with Sal, I really wrote it with myself. I ran a few jokes by Don Barris at the Comedy Store, and my cousin Ed and my buddy Eddie sat around with me for a little while, and we came up with some stuff. And to be honest with you, remember Mike Ferrucci, who wrote on The Man Show?
Ferrucci, yeah.
The Rooch, he told me to say hi to you. He sent me a few lines. And, you know, I put my own spin on it, mix it all together. But with Sal, this one was so personal. A lot of the stuff that I probably would have said in the moment, I'm not going to share today. I'll save it for Sal's, you know, hopefully his 60th. We'll do a roast or something like that.
Or funeral.
Or funeral. No, I think Sal's probably going to outlive me, believe it or not. And the one thing I was going to do, which I didn't get to do, was when Jimmy Kimmel asked me to roast Sal, I wrote back, "I'm in, but no physical contact." Because every time I roast Sal, it winds up with me in a headlock on the floor.
Yeah.
So I had two gigantic Caesar's Palace security guards all set to stand on either side of me during the roast, but I didn't get to do it. So I'll have to. It was truly heartbreaking to miss because I haven't seen Sal in a year and a half. And he's like family, and he's been pranking me. I literally probably could have had my shrink helped me write this one.
I'll tell you what you missed. You missed the night after the roast, Saturday night. Jimmy rented out a restaurant. We all went there and we talked to Josh Gardner, Def Rec mm-hmm. guy, talked yeah. him into doing the porn audition for everybody.
That's the best. I love Josh, Def Rec guy, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I miss I miss all the guys. I really do. I miss Jimmy's family, his cousins, his parents. It would have been nice to see you, Adam. It was a tough one. This COVID thing is a real pain in the ass.
I know. We had a plate. We had a place for you on Garagus's private jet. We're
why
all
are you
set to
why
go.
Are you doing this?
Yeah, I know. Rub it in.
It was. It's funny, you
follow
know.
Johnny Walker Blue with your name on it.
As much as I enjoy watching Josh do his porn star audition, I realize I enjoy it more when a large group of uninitiated people are around us trying to figure out what the fuck is going on and why we're all laughing like maniacs.
Oh, that's so funny. You know, it's like, you know, you, me, Sal, Tony Barbieri, Jimmy, a few others. We've been doing the same jokes to each other, the same practical jokes and the spin on the same stuff for, I don't know, over 20 years, 25 years, and it's still funny. And more than anything, roasts really bring people together. They really are the epitome of great friendships. And, you know, so it was. I was proud of Sal at how well he took the jokes, from what I could tell over the FaceTime.
Yeah, he took it like a champ. Yeah, Josh did porn star audition part one and part two, which is part one he gets on top, mm-hmm. and then part two he lays down on his back and she gets on to him.
Oh, I didn't realize that was part two.
Yeah,
it's a sequel.
I like him on his back better because he's stroking his air dick and he's going, "You ready to go all night? You ready to go all night? You ready to go all night, baby? Yeah. Are you ready to go all night?"
By the way, there's no one helping him. He's just doing it by himself.
He's just doing it, laying in a restaurant, laying on a floor in a restaurant. Yeah, you ready to go all night?
It's like the most X-rated charades game you've ever seen.
Yeah. And of course, and we all know what the joke is. Okay, all right, get on. You ready to go? Get off, get off, get off. And then he strokes himself. And we all erupt in laughter. I don't know why that's funny. He did Def Rat Guy. And I got the room came down when I laid an assist, Jeff. You'll probably remember this. He did, he did the standard. We got to clean up those pumpkins or the thetas are going to do a dance on our faces. But then there's the one where he just sits on a chair and looks sullen. He just sits there and looks sullen. And I know what's going on. That's my cue. So I get on my feet. I open the fake door and I go, Mav, the party's raging downstairs. Everyone's here. What are you doing sitting in your frat house room all alone? And then he pauses and he goes, sometimes I get a little bummed out about my hearing. And then the place goes insane. I don't know why it's so funny.
Classic.
Hey, do you have, it's up on my screen, but with you and Cousin Sal, how about the incredible moment where the Tom Cruise negotiated a peace settlement between you and Cousin Sal?
This was one of the highlights of our friendship. I was on Dancing with the Stars, as I know you were, and you know, Adam, firsthand how attached you can be to your dance partner and to the idea of performing something out of your normal comfort zone. You know, I learned the cha-cha-cha, and I got hurt. And the last rehearsal, my partner, Edita, had her nails done, and she sliced my cornea at the camera rehearsal hours before the live appearance.
Feels
and,
intentional.
You know, it was devastating, and Jimmy said, you have to dance. If you can dance, you'll be a hero. And I had an eye patch on, and I went out there, and Warren Sapp and the rest of the cast wore eye patches out of solidarity, as did my family. And all eyes were on me, even though I only had one good one at the time. And I'd already competed against Cloris Leachman and Kim Kardashian. And I was really having this great, like, sort of primetime moment. And I danced relatively poorly, but considering I couldn't see and I was a little disoriented from a long day in the emergency room, I danced pretty well. The next day, the results come in, and Sal must have somehow known that I was eliminated. But he texted me an hour before the show and said, "You're safe." So I tell my partner, "We're safe. I'm very confident now. I'm a little, got some swagger out there. I know that either Kim Kardashian's going home or Cloris Leachman or one of the other sort of, not as good as Brooke Burke dancers." And of course it was a prank. I was caught off guard. I was so mad. They eliminated me. And I said, "Speaking of ballroom, these pants are tight. I'm out of here." And I walked off pissed off. And, you know, when you get eliminated, you get driven limo right to Jimmy Kimmel live on ABC. And I knew by then that Sal had pranked me, and I was so mad at him. I didn't talk to him for weeks and weeks and weeks. I didn't want to let it disrupt all my friendships, so I continued to go to Jimmy's house for football on Sundays. And there was a lot of friction. There was a lot of tension. I was really hurt. Sal wasn't backing down. The guys were pretty much divided on who to support in this situation. I don't know which side you fell on, Adam.
Just say Jeff.
I'm always Team Jeff. Everyone knows.
Having been through the horror.
Check the windbreaker. Team Jeff.
Yeah, it says it on the back.
That's right.
And it was Christmas time. Tom Cruise showed up at Jimmy's house with cupcakes. His mom had made cupcakes, I believe. And he came with his mom, and she was a lovely woman. And we were all kind of like, you know, having a little bit of a, there was some holiday cheer, some goodwill in the room. And I believe it was Sarah Silverman, who was there at the time, got up on a coffee table and said, Sal whispered to me, "Why don't we let Tom Cruise, who's played so many judges in movies, and lawyers and judge. Movies. Why don't we let him decide what we should do to to fix this between us?
Cruise court.
And
yeah.
Food, what's that? Yeah.
Cruise court.
Cruise court.
Yeah.
Cruise court. I like it. And Sarah got up and pleaded my case. I believe Jimmy or Bill Simmons pleaded Sal's case. And Tom Cruise heard us out, spent considerable time thinking about it. His mom chastised us for cursing. Yes. And you want to tell the rest of the story?
Well,
you
don't know what happened? I was drunk by then because that took place at the end of the second game.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
I've been pounding beers since 10 a.m. But I did have a joke in my act a million years ago, which was on this subject, which is if you're Tom Cruise and there's some rumor swirling around Hollywood that you may be gay and you'd like to stop those rumors by going to the Man Show guy's house to have some brewskis and watch football, leave your mom and the cupcakes at home. Because I remember I answered the door. It was just his mom standing there with a big thing of cupcakes and Tom Cruise. It was surreal.
That's going to blow your fucking mind.
It blew my mind. Yeah, sorry.
And, you know, at that point, we were all, like, making it in Hollywood, but we weren't big stars. We didn't know a lot of big stars. So we really, you know, Tom came in with some gravitas.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom, you know, asked us some follow-up questions. They could hear the quivering emotion in my voice. They could see a little bit of the guilt in Sal's eyes. And after conferring with his mom, Tom came back, Judge Tom came back and said that he thought that he had unnecessarily hurt my feelings, caught me off guard in a big break in a show business moment, and that Sal should apologize.
Wow.
Sal very meekly apologized and kind of mumbled through it, and Tom made him repeat it louder.
Wow.
And in the end, we took a picture where we all kind of shook hands over a football on Sunday.
Yeah, we're looking at it right now.
Now, which one is Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
And I do remember, it reminds me that Tom Cruise is holding the football. I did make him throw me the pass so I could do my shit touchdown dance in the living room, which may have offended his mom. He stood up and threw me a tight one. I caught it in front of everybody. And
did he ever come back?
Several times, I'm sure. I don't know. I'd have to check the logbook.
Look at that picture, Adam. I mean, clearly, Tom Cruise has aged a lot, and I look as good as I've ever looked.
Yeah, you know, you look better than you did, and Tom looks like he's just been out in the sun drinking Everclear. Jeff, let me give you a plug website, roastmastergeneral.com. Go there for all the upcoming dates and shows, and shoot him a tweet at Real Jeffrey Ross. And Jeff, as soon as you finalize the next roast, come back and spread the news on this program.
I will super spread the next roast on your show, Adam.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Love you guys.
Love you.
All right.
Yeah, I always say Jeff's a very sincere guy for the Roastmaster, and he sincerely had his feelings hurt by Cousin Sal.
Yeah, it's a little sensitive. Good for him.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Team Jeff.
Team Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let me tell you about Team... Sheck wants to weigh in.
Well,
sorry,
I wanted to weigh in while Ross was on there.
Oh, sorry.
A couple things.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about when you come in the studio right after the break, all right? We'll just pick it up.
All right, that's a choice. That's one way we can do it.
All right.
Fine. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Tommy John this summer. Soak up the sun, not the sweat. Tommy John cool cotton fabric, 2 to 3 times cooler than regular cotton. Get a pair of new Tommy John underwear and let your buns breathe, man.
Oh,
Gina.
Yeah, like a forest green or navy blue.
Navy blue.
They're white undies, Gina. They just have been washed in quite some time.
Been a while.
Those are navy blue.
That's
yes.
moss. Tommy John, man. So good. Dozens of comfort innovations, breathable, lightweight, moisture wicking fabric. Like I said, like Dawson said, you know, jump in the pool at night, hang them out on the railing and pop them on the next morning. They're dry, or just go out and work up a little lather and just kind of walk it off once you get back into the air conditioning. They just dry on you. They don't have customers, they have fanatics, and you'll never go back to what you're currently wearing. Best pair you'll ever wear. It's free. Guaranteed. Right, Dawson?
Right now, get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Adam. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right. Quick break. Back with Dave Damashek right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
He hate this king. Stay away from the kings.
If you said The Jerk.
He hates these cans! Stay away from the cans!
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
The great Dave Damashek in studio. Podcast -3 extra points with Cousin Sal on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to better podcasts. Good to see you, Dave. It's been like a day and a half.
Hello, Adam. You're looking well.
You look well, too.
Nice to see you, bald.
Now, off the air, you're going to tell us about your mustache and your beard.
Yeah, the beard looks different.
Then we'll get to my POV on that magnificent day when Tom Cruise showed up at the Kimmel Football Sunday. But yes, thank you for the plug of those shows. It's Ace. We're a month away from football.
I know.
Oh, it's a glorious time. Hopes are running high for all 31, because we know the Houston Texans aren't going to be. But everybody else, hopes are running high. Yes, I had the occasion to catch up with an old pal of mine, he's a gay man. And he said to me, I noticed he has an all-white beard, but I said, am I seeing things correctly that your mustache is much bushier and fuller than the rest of your beard? And he said, yes, that's very big in the gay community now, is you're supposed to grow it bushy. And he said, he's a man of my advanced age, and he said, I do very well with young men as a result of this. And I said, listen, I've been around long enough to understand that the gay community is 6 months to 5 years ahead of the rest of society in terms of fashion. I'm going to get on this now. I may get a little bit of pushback, but who's going to wind up in the winner's circle? Dave Damashek.
And have the young men been hitting on
you? It's a good look, yeah.
No, you know, it's funny. I'm glad. I just told that story to somebody the other day. I once went to a party at Alan Ball, the guy, 6 feet under guy.
Excuse me. American Beauty.
Yeah,
an American Beauty, right. Well, he apparently was known to throw big parties that were filled with young men who he would court, at his palatial estate in the Hollywood Hills, if I remember correctly. I went to a party there, and there were, no exaggeration, there were 200 young men all there, very few, if any, women around there. And we left after about 20 minutes. It wasn't for me. It wasn't for us. Dan Dratch was there with me. In fact, that's who I was just recounting this with. I said, do you remember that? Am I exaggerating? He said, no, it was absolutely, there were no women there. It was very strange. And we left after 20 minutes. And I remember thinking then, and I still to this day, I'm offended. I didn't get hit on by one man. Mm. Not one man. Mm-hmm. Not handsome enough for one. 200 coxmen. Not one. Perhaps looked away at Damashek.
You exuded so much heterosexual masculine energy.
No. I don't want to waste my time.
You're not going to waste my time.
That's a calorie.
Here's a hypothetical I just thought of. So it's torture for the women because the gay guys keep after themselves, physically.
Boy, do they. Yes.
And they don't have the hairy backs.
The income.
And there's the physical side of it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing the skin and the moisturizer,
the low BMI,
exfoliating,
the
and all that
hair.
Kind of. Everything's there.
Big mustaches.
Career oriented.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then I started kept going down the road with it in my head. Like, they love design. They like decorating. They like doing architecture, all that kind of
tourism.
Stuff. Gina, no one likes a musical like you.
Oh, my God.
Good luck getting the straight guy to accompany you. It's all there.
Yes.
And you go, wow. So what a. It's almost torture, in a sense, that if you went to that party as a single woman, you'd see all these guys that look great in board shorts and who wanted to go see Pippin with
Liza
you.
Liza with a Z.
Liza with a Z. Knew all the words, yeah. Not Lisa with an S.
No. Listen. How did you do that?
I'm gay.
Because Liza with a Z goes nuts.
Yeah.
I have goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe you know that.
I have, listen, we think we've proven with my velodrome and many other subjects, I cast a wide net when it comes to knowledge.
A wide gay net.
A gay net.
Yeah, not a gill net, a gay net.
Right.
All right, so torture for you.
Yes.
But then let's flip the coin here. What about the lesbians?
Mm.
And it's like, well, you know, camping, going to the rodeo, a dip.
You know,
all the stuff trips. That dudes want to do, you know,
woodworking.
Flannel, woodworking. Think about
fishing.
It. You know, who could you make a stronger argument for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So the cis hetero among us are the ones that are shit out of luck.
Well, it is.
Finally, someone's taking up our cause.
Right?
It is interesting that they both sort of did a thing that looked like it was there to taunt.
Yeah.
The heterosexuals among us.
You're absolutely right.
Grad and I would. The bottom line is, if Grad had been at that party, she and I would be married now.
That's right.
True.
Like, we both would have been sore losers and been like, all right, I mean, this is what we're, this is it. You know?
Sloppy seconds over here.
So, you had thoughts on the Tom Cruise story?
Well, I just wanted to color in a couple more details. You got to the one, you opened the door for Tom Cruise, and it was a stunner to all of us that Tom Cruise was there, obviously with his mom, no less, but within 6 minutes, and that might even be generous to you, Adam Carolla, within six minutes of A-list superstar Tom Cruise and his mom showing up at Jimmy Kimmel's, Adam Carolla was doing his poop touchdown dance.
Pantomiming pooping.
And it was so surreal. The whole thing was
well,
surreal.
Well, you also have to understand that Jimmy had a step-down living room, so you could stand up on the platform, and if you stepped down and got in front of the screen...
Yeah.
It was an amphitheater. It was a room that was meant to be performed.
You'll be surprised to learn that wasn't the first time Adam took the stage for all of us in the middle of a game. Man, Ace, you know, no bigger fan here. Can we watch the fourth quarter though, and then we'll how about our overtime will be this take on the newest ad for Hack. And you see another CBS hack to become a rape. Yeah, all right. They say just after the 2 minute warning. Can we get there? No. We always loved it. Always loved it.
I get it.
Now, once I was talking, on that day, I was talking to, speaking of handsome, to one John Hamm.
Oh,
you know, the object
now
of every woman's affection in the 21st century, a man's man, and all that. But he looked like one of us, you know, had a couple days' growth, had a dirty old St. Louis Blues ball cap on. But I'm talking to him. I am in a position that literally millions of women would trade to have a moment like this with John Hamm. And then through the arch of the doorway, I saw in a pristine black pea coat with a matching black shirt underneath and perfectly coiffed hair and a clean shaven face with a halo of light around him, Tom Cruise. Hamm's a handsome devil, but he couldn't hold a candle to Cruise. I swooned. And then Carolla did his poop dance. And by the way, Sal was right. That was one of the more ridiculous episodes. I think we can agree. Why was I still to this day, what was Jeff Ross that mad about or for that surprise that Sal would do? You really hurt my feelings, cousin Sal. Like,
oh,
what?
First off, hurt your feelings. If Sal texts you anything, just think the opposite.
Yes, of course.
You had to know in advance you were on the chopping block because Sal reached out to you to tell you you were safe. He would have said nothing, or what if he did text, think the opposite. That's the way I would approach it. Also, I do remember that day he came in. Tom's mom is a dear lady, and you can see they kind of facially resemble each other as well. But yeah, those were some crazy times back then. That was good. Everyone showing up at Jimmy's house and tilting a few and having a good time.
We have a nice time when we get together at your warehouse, don't we?
I agree.
When's Cruise coming by?
I was going to. Well, we don't get Cruise. We get Brad. Brad's the craziest of all Sal's friends.
Hollywood elites, same to me.
Yes.
601.
Yeah, he was covered in my roast of Cousin Sal.
Yeah, it was a wonderful night. Yeah, we had a great time. I'm sure you've discussed it already. But wonderful half-century celebration of Sal a half-century in. Corolla roasted him. It was kind of like a Stern whack pack, but Sal has his own gang, like Sal's pals of misfits or whatever. And were you flattered when you got the invitation, and then when you realized, like, this is who I'm performing with? Like, now it's a slap in my face?
Sal's friends are legitimately nuts, and the first night... I think it was the second night I spent at Sal's house, because the first time me and Jimmy went to New York, it's like, oh, my Sal's over there. He'll pick us up. We'll stay at his place. We'll go a couple days early. I think what it was is K-Rock was paying for the hotel from Sunday night to Monday, you know, to Friday for work that we're doing over there. But we want to go in on Thursday, and we need a place to stay. So I stayed at Sal's. And night number one, or morning number one, I slept on a day bed that was by the laundry room, which is it had piles and piles of dirty clothes on it. And I just crawled underneath them. And Sal's mom thought I was Jimmy.
Right.
So she dove on me in the morning. He's here. But the next night, the next morning, it was Cow. Cousin Sal's friend Cow, who you know how he woke me up?
How's that?
Let me guess.
He walked in the room at like 6:30, and we went to bed at like 3:45. He walked in at 6:30, and he's like, "Gucci, Gucci, goo, Gucci, Gucci." He's like tickling my feet. He's a 35-year-old man. Like,
it's all I wanted at Alan Ball's party. Just one man to tickle me on my feet.
That would have been enough.
I've been peed on a lot, so I'm not easily offended, but I still thought, wow, he's tickling a stranger. He woke me up pre-7 a.m. to tickle me by going Gucci.
What a collection of weirdos. What an absolute... it is really, and that was really hanging out at Jimmy's too on football Sundays. You talk about casting a wide net. You had literally, you know, you had Adam Carolla, you had John Hamm, Sarah Silverman, Tom Cruise periodically, Tom Cruise's mom, Randy, Brad, you know, really just a big range of humanity all gathered there. And so it was this weekend once again. I felt blessed. And, you know, don't leave off one of the great, most captivating personalities. We had the chance to see Maverick, the deaf rat guy.
Yeah, that's right. About that.
Yeah.
Yes, he was covered in segment one doing the porn auditions on the floor of the restaurant.
Never get the bus boys came in through the closed doors and stood alongside the wall. I was fascinated because does it translate?
It never translates.
No, these guys were in hysterics.
Oh, they were.
They thought it was hysterical. And I also am then reminded that Norm MacDonald once made Maverick do it for Mike Scully. You know, one of the creators of The Simpsons. And he and Mike Scully apparently was downright mad. What the hell is that? Don't do
it. He did
the
it.
Range is the best all the of reactions.
All of,
I'm gonna go with the bus boys.
Yeah,
all of our executives at Comedy Central were middle aged housefraus. And when they showed up at the after party, it's like, Josh, show Debbie Liebling. And all these middle-aged women are like standing around. Like, get down on the floor. You want to go all night? You want to go all night? She's like standing there with her kid or something. Yeah, the best part is nobody else understanding what's going on. But I'm glad the bus boys got a laugh out of it.
Yeah. Meantime, I got some heat. People thought it was weird that there was a baby there. It was a six-week-old baby. And I asked if I could smell it. Baby smelled delicious.
Why
is that
good,
a weird thing to ask? May I smell? In the age of COVID, they're not going to hand you the baby to hold, and they're not going to let them do that. But close second, I can smell
you. This is a total stranger?
Well, I mean, I knew one of the parents little bit. I got a lot of heat. I'm like, well, it was very strange that you did that. That was very unusual, David.
That's a very Larry David moment for you.
I don't know why.
Like it broke the social contract.
They smelled delicious, like a nice cookie.
No, I agree.
A woman's breasts feel wonderful. But if you see one at a party or just someone you know, one of the parents, maybe you don't just go up and ask for a squeeze.
You could think it.
Yeah.
Okay. You just can't say it.
That's a powerful analogy, Ball. Thank you for that.
I'm going the other way here. I wish I'd sniffed the baby.
I do. I'm not sorry I did.
The baby.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish I'd given it a sniff.
Oh, what a time, Ace. What a great time. I feel like a lucky devil once again to get to sit in a cabana with the likes of you or in a podcast studio. All those some of the funniest people on the face of the earth. What a great time it was. Laughed and laughed and laughed some more.
Well, now we have a hypothetical, Dave. Oh. So we're going to come down to earth.
Let's get serious.
A couple weeks back, I was talking to Mike Lynch. We're working on a upcoming book of mine, and we stumbled into this sort of hypothetical. And you, I don't know if you're uniquely qualified to answer this, but I always bring a unique perspective to these things. So the question is this. Do you sexually take one lover who can be an eight, max eight? You get an eight. And, you know, 1 to 10. Or do you go for the threesome, but maximum combined scores 12?
And everybody's answered.
I mean, I've always pretty consistently judge, I hope not too harshly, the women that you may have seen me with over the years. You can count them on two fingers. But I've always been a quality over quantity guy.
This is a hypothetical where you're just going to have an experience. You're not going to move to Utah and start a family.
Eight. Give me the eight. Always.
You'll take the eight.
Always the eight.
All right.
Stand.
Chris, I think we need to adjust this now. And I need to add a point.
Well, you already did.
It was a 10.
No, it wasn't.
It was 10, and then it looks like you added 2 points.
Did we go?
Yeah.
Because, sorry, remember, added.
You adjusted for the female version.
Oh, that's right. I adjusted for the female version. Yeah, I think we got to go 12. But what would it take? What if I went 13?
I don't know. I've never craved. I don't know why. I never have craved two women at once. Perhaps that says something about how I regard my lovemaking. I make no secret of the fact, and many, not
but again,
many women,
this
but
is a hypothetical.
I'm a surprisingly powerful lover.
But this is something to just say you did it.
I see.
You know what I mean?
I see.
This is a bucket list kind of thing.
I mean, if you're, I feel like you're pushing.
I am. Well, I'm trying to sweeten the pot a little bit. Really, what you're looking for is, like, speaking of Cousin Sal, what the bookies do is they start moving the line around a little until they can get, you know, even money on both teams. You know, I'm moving the line a little bit, and then the question is, how would you break down a 12?
Definitely I'm giving them the same. So if we were to go up to 15, and I would go.
I can't do 15.
Come on. That's being greedy.
I mean, I'd really like to see you do 15.
I didn't offer anyone 12. Yeah.
The guys upstairs are going to go.
If word gets out, Dave, they offer you 15.
I want you to understand, this does not leave the podcast studio. Mm-hmm. What happens here, I understand that you're not in the business.
All right, let's say 13, but no half points. You can't break it into a 6.5 and a 6.5.
I guess I'm going 76. It's the new sexual position. Dave's with a 7 and a 6 on either side of him. Mm-hmm. 76, you know?
All right.
I'm going to do – I guess that's what I have to do. Yeah, I guess I'm a snob. My wiener, at least, is a snob. I wouldn't want to go 3 or 4 or 4, even
yeah,
5.
That seems – that's the general consensus is that.
Is that right? No, I've seen the other side. It's never in all my years. It never ceases to surprise me, because you hear about those things like that guy is wild and he's had threesomes. What you learn is that their standards are much lower. That's the cheat code. You know, it's also like, why are you so good? So it's like Wayne Gretzky, got to keep taking the shots. You never make one that you don't take. Like, yeah. That's what cocksmen do, and they take shots at any walking creature too. Like that's it's like, oh well, you're betting a 3, so am I supposed to be impressed by that? Yeah, give me the high score, ladies.
Agree.
Thank you.
All right, now on to some talk that I was trying to get some traction with at Sal's party, but I just feel like it fell on deaf ears. getting the podium race.
You are 100% wrong, because Sal and I talked about that on Extra Points just yesterday.
Oh,
that
good.
He brought it up, and I said I 100% think Corolla is right on this one.
Yeah, we'll just show you the picture of the 68 Mexico City Olympics with Tommy Smith.
What is this, Communist China? Second and third place are even, Steven? Not in my book.
No, I know. Nice. Now we're breaking them in half. Yeah, it looks like, now you can see the numbers on thing, but when they go in closer on that shot, it just looks like the guy who got, you show 100 people this picture and they'd go, yeah, the two black guys got first and second, and then the little white guy from Australia, he got third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was eye-opening for me as somebody who fancies himself a diehard sports fan. It took Adam Carolla in the Lord's year 2021 to tell me that the Australian guy, in fact, finished second.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's Dave, you probably know this, but the famous Miracle on Ice, not the gold medal game. In fact,
I know that.
A lot of people don't.
That one, right.
Yeah, the U.S. had to go on to beat Finland, a very good Finland.
And in fact, was losing 2-0 in that game. Imagine that. They beat the Soviet Union, and then they lose to the Finns.
Oh, I always thought it was Sweden, but it was Finland.
Yeah.
Sorry, Finland. Is that where Fruzenglas is from?
Ah, Fruzenglas, Capo Caco, Shocky Jacques Louis. It's great names in sports, but all a precursor to what's been going on in these Olympics. Do yourself a favor. Have you been seeing some of these names out there?
No, I haven't seen them.
Well, there was an American person who just won a medal named Moo.
Namu?
Moo.
Oh, just Moo.
Her last name was Moo.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe Mew, but I'm pretty sure it was Moo.
Don't back down now. Moo it is.
Moo it shall stay.
What's she winning?
I don't know.
Her childhood was tough.
Be a shame if it was for like the shot put or something. You don't want
the hammer throw.
Yeah. 800 meter.
Oh, wow.
So says Max Zapata. Have we been doing of the Americans? I don't know. Where are we at with basketball and the Americans?
We're doing all right. We beat Spain most recently. It's not, but, you know, I always said about that, if we can get serious. I've always felt that we should have in 92. We lose in 88. The men's, it should never happen. We should always win basketball, if nothing else. We should always win men's basketball. But then we lose in 88, so we say, like, all right, world, now we're going to give you what for. We're sending Magic, and we're sending Bird, and we're sending Michael, and all those guys, and we're going to whip the hell out of you so that there's no mistake who's the best. And that's exactly what they did. That should have been enough. That should have been it. Like,
Diana.
Don't make us do it. You want it? Oh, you think you're good?
You've
Spain,
seen worse.
Brazil. Right. You want to get the hell beat? We'll do it again. Keep it up with the yap. Instead, we just keep sending them, and then we eventually lost. And now here we are, mortal, like the rest of the world. I don't care for it.
All right, we got Dead or Alive to play with Shaq. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld. World's Strongest Bond pros have trusted it for over 50 years. But why hire a pro when JB Weld makes it easy to look like a pro yourself? We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesive as a sponsor. I personally know the owner. DIY projects, auto, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more. Use on metal, wood, plastic, glass, I should say, ceramics, and you can keep it in your kitchen drawer, your craft supplies in the garage. I use it to fix Sonny's tennis shoe. I use it to fix a stone threshold in front of my house. I use it to fix Natalia's frozen face roller thing.
And don't sleep on the chair pads in the dining room.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I used it.
That's why you used it. JB Weld acquired Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered. Right, Dawson?
JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
All right, take a quick break. Back with Dead or Alive with Shaq right after this.